You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
Last week, best week of the year in sports. I always say that. We get the Kentucky Derby. We get a prize boxing fight. We get the NBA playoffs. Day Major League Baseball. If you're into hockey, you got the NHL playoffs. I love it. That is the weekend that I circle every single year on my calendar. And it didn't disappoint. We had the second biggest upset in Kentucky Derby history. And we also saw the, in my mind, pound for pound number one boxer in the world, Canelo Alvarez, drop a fight. Been a very long time. You got to go back to 2013 to the last time Canelo Alvarez lost a fight. What does that mean moving forward for the cash cow in boxing? We're going to talk about that and more right now. Joining us over the phone, we have Tony Whitby, our boxing insider. Tony, I wish we would have talked about this fight last week. I know the schedules didn't quite match up, but you and I had a text conversation going into the fight, and I had said Canelo will win this 116-112, maybe 117-111. I thought Canelo would pull away late in the fight. That did not happen. What you text me was textbook. It's exactly what went down. Beevil dominated
absolutely.
With the jab.
I mean, the people that know boxing knew that Beevil was going to be a problem from the start. Going up in weight was quite scary in general, man, to go into, having Canelo go up that high and Beevil and his stature, his jab was going to pose a major threat throughout the fight. If you look at historically, Canelo has never really done well against people with leading jabs like this, and then you have a bigger guy overall in general, man. And so we knew it was all going to pose a problem. We just didn't know how much of a problem. And also, given that Canelo is the cash cow, we all knew that the cards were going to kind of slay in his favor. So just because one guy was going to be a problem doesn't mean he was going to win the fight. So, I thought Canelo was going to win the fight, but it was going to be extremely close. And, it was going to be up to the scorecards, and we'd have an interesting fight card leave it to the judges to make it interesting in boxing, as always.
Yeah, as I'm talking with you about this fight, it played out early the way I thought. I thought, okay, Beevil's going to come out. He's going to steal a couple of rounds early. It's going to take Canelo some time to adjust because, again, we'll talk about the risk of moving up in weight. But he just never found his footing. I mean, it's really that simple. And you talk about the jab of Beevil. The only positive I can say, the main positive, I can't say the only positive, because I think sometimes in boxing we put too much emphasis on a loss, right? We see a guy lose, and I don't know what it is. It's not like this in MMA, but when we talk boxing, a loss, all of a sudden we drop a guy down the fictional pound-for-pound rankings, or we think that the sky is falling. That's simply not the case. We don't get Canelo Triple G in September. Instead, we're going to get a rematch of Beevil, and I think that this is actually very good for the sport of boxing, right? We're seeing a possible trilogy where we're going to get a rubber match here. I mean, look, if Canelo bounces back and beats Beevil, we're going to get a trilogy. And it's been a while, man, since we've had a very entertaining trilogy at that. I think it was a good night for the sport of boxing.
100%. Canelo is a polarizing fighter in a sense that either, one, you enjoy watching him fight, you like his tactician, the way he fights, he's very, largely Mexican crowd loves him. And then there's certain people that just do not care for the guy, think he's, a little overrated. He kind of always gets the gifts, whatever the case may be. And so it doesn't matter which camp you're in, you are going to watch him fight. And to see him get dismantled in public, live, some people thought was very entertaining. Other people thought was shocking. And the fact that saying, he flew too close to the sun. He went up in weight, fought a very dangerous opponent, and essentially got taken out that night. And he admitted it, he claimed it, and then said, hey, on to another one, let's do a rematch. It would be interesting if they're going to try to get that rematch at a lower weight to essentially, advantage Cotto in that scenario, or advantage Canelo in that scenario, as opposed to Beevil. And, as time will tell, but I think September is going to be an extremely fun fight. Definitely worth paying again. It was worth the money this weekend.
Tony, I want to put this in perspective. You and I had this conversation during the last commercial break. Okay, the three greatest prize fighters over the last 20 years in boxing. And I think that this is a list. Maybe somebody wants to be a contrarian. To me, it's pretty clear cut and dry. It's Mayweather, Pacquiao, Canelo, right? Those are the three greatest prize fighters of the last 20 years. I'm a huge Floyd apologist, and I know you're a Pacquiao guy. when you go back and you look at what these two accomplished, yes, they're legendary, but neither of those two took a risk that Canelo took on Saturday, moving up to light heavyweight, okay? And again, to pinpoint this, remember, Canelo and Floyd fought at a catchweight. I want to say it was 152 just 8 years ago. That was the only time that Canelo had looked mortal during his entire professional career before Saturday. I think it's worth mentioning that this loss for Canelo should not affect the way you look at him based off of the risk that he took moving up in weight, something that we didn't necessarily see from Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Yeah, 100%. And I think I even texted to you on Saturday was saying, like, you know, if Canelo loses this, it's going to be a certain segment that are people that are going to say that he lost his footing, he lost a step, he's getting old, he's getting, you know, exploited or whatever. Or people are seeing, you know, niches in his armor or something like that. But in reality, that's not the case. You know, it's just a little guy going up against another bigger guy who's just better at that weight class. Canelo shouldn't be at what light heavyweight right now in his career. And we saw that on Saturday night, that ends up being the case, at least fighting somebody like Bivol, who, in my opinion, may have his number at any weight class.
He may, and I think that's the intrigue if these two fight again. When we talk about the fictional pound-for-pound rankings, would you drop Canelo on your list? And I'm curious as to where you have him. For me, he's number one, and he stays number one even after this loss on Saturday based off of the risk factor. He didn't lose at his weight class. He's still the undisputed middleweight champ of the world. So when you look at the pound-for-pound rankings, where would you put him, and would you drop him after what you saw on Saturday?
I mean, you would have to a little bit, but again, I could see the argument of people saying, look, he went way out of the realm of where he needs to be. It was only, like, this fight was for legacy. And that's essentially what we're saying when you said, hey, in the last 20 years, we haven't seen anybody do anything like this. Because the fighters of today have not really been fighting for legacy. He was actually doing that on Saturday night. So some people would use that towards the keeping him where he's at. Some people would put that and say, nah, man, this is prize fighting. He got an extra L. So, no, we're going to knock him down a little bit. I don't like to play in the realm of pound for pound a lot. I mean, I would say Inoue, you know, Crawford, those names always got to be mentioned as of right now. You know, some would even say Lomachenko, you know, regardless of his inactivity. Usyk is obviously another one in there as well where he's at. But again, he's off in lieu, you know, dealing with Ukraine. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it. In my opinion, I would say it would be reasonable to drop him, a notch or two or a name or two, you know, going from number one to number two to number three, but to remove him out of the top five, if you have it that way, would be a little harsh unless you had him not as number five. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to me, I mean, he's got to be top four. I don't believe you can move him out of the top four. I don't know. Maybe you get a little bit. I don't know. I like the pound-for-pound rankings because, again, it's fictional. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer, but I also believe in the sport of boxing. It's so much different than MMA, right? It's just a different world. And, Tony, I don't know where we got on this idea that a loss is absolutely devastating to a legacy. I don't know if this goes back to Mayweather finishing 49 or 50-0, however you want to count his professional record. The O was so important. We always talked about it. I don't know if that changed the game, but at one particular time, a loss in boxing was not a death sentence in the public eye.
You know, there's a certain the boxing historians, some of them in the nacer, some of them would say it's part of, you know, the Heyman will of Al Heyman and his managers of fighters. Others would argue that it was a promotional tool used back in the 80s and Don King promotions and, you know, some of the top rank cards and whatnot. It's always been a, you know, who's O has to go type scenario. It means more to be undefeated in a sense in boxing as opposed to it doesn't mean MMA. But at the same time, it means nothing at the same time. So the reason why I say that is because there are certain careers that can be crafted and guided to help reduce those risks overall. So, and I know in MMA, that's not necessarily always the case. So it bothers me when you have people argue hey, this guy's undefeated and, you know, he's better than everyone else because of that. I think you have to look at everything from each fight overall, the work of that fighter and the overall body of work, if you will. And, you know, there's certain people that take risks and certain people that don't. And we saw Canelo take one over the weekend.
Tony, now that we I guess we're gonna stop talking about Canelo for a little bit now, right? Until September at least. So we got a few months before, or maybe a few weeks. I don't know how long it's gonna take before his next fight is solidified. We know it's not gonna be against Triple G. I'm fine with that. I don't need to see these two box again. I feel like from round 6 or 7 in fight one all the way through fight number 2, to me, I think Canelo figured out Triple G. Triple G's only gotten older at that particular since then. He's now 40 years old. I don't see a 40-year-old in this game that can step into the ring and box with Canelo Alvarez. There's only one logical fight for him now in September, right?
Look, he's going to have to fight or do a rematch with Bivol any way he can to kind of reclaim some of whatever he lost on Saturday night. Outside of that, he could limit or silence a certain demographic of fighters or fans that like the Charlo brothers or Benavidez as well, but from a sheer standpoint of marketability, money standpoint, and maybe even pride for that matter, I can't see him not wanting that Bivol fight. It will be interesting to see if it does come into fruition, what type of weight stipulations that they make in this fight. And then, let's say he does win this fight, to see what happens with that overall rubber match and where they go with them, if they even do a third one, and what weight they actually do the third one as well. So, at any rate, you know, having Canelo's fight happen is going to be entertaining one way or another. We just got to kind of follow, you know, read the tea leaves on us.
Tony, as far as upcoming boxing fights that I'm sure catch your eye, I know we got a big one with one of the pound-for-pound top fighters in the world coming up in June. Outside of that, still playing the waiting game on a potential Spence Crawford fight. What's the next best fight in your eyes that we should be on the lookout for?
You know, it's let me think about this for a second here. I will tell you that the Spence Crawford, in my opinion, is something interesting that I'm dying to see happen. I'm at a loss of words right now as far as schedule-wise. I'd have to kind of go back to the drawing board. I can't think of anything offhand that I'm really looking forward to right now. What sucks is the moment that I get off the phone call with you, I'll shoot you a text with like 3 different fights that I'm interested in. So I'll hold that into the bag until the next round.
Sounds good. I know there's going to be plenty to talk about in the very near future. Tony, great to get your perspective on what went down on Saturday. I'm looking forward to a rematch with Canelo and Bivol. I always appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll do it again real soon.
Oh, man, I just Gervonta Davis and Rolando Romero, and then George Kambosa and David Haney.
Okay, there you go. See, we didn't even have to end the call for you to give me a couple of fights.
Like, wait a minute, man. What am I doing here? Yeah, I think the Kambosa fight is going to be super entertaining, man. Be prepared for that. We'll talk about the Davis fight after.
As far as Kambosa goes, I got to throw this out there. Based off of the way his last fight went, the intrigue alone, it's right there. I mean, that gives you the intrigue alone, right?
You know, if we see the same fighter go up against Haney, that's going to be a very entertaining fight. It's one of those situations, it's similar to Andy Ruiz, where nobody expected it to happen.
Correct.
But with what the outcome was when he did defeat Teofimo Lopez, and then the starstruckness of what happened with Andy Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua. So I'm using that as a comparison because if Kambosa kind of doesn't put his foot on the gas and he's just stuck in the limelight, there's a good chance that David Haney actually wins this fight handedly and makes Kambosa look really bad. Or if we see the same Kambosa that fought Lopez, we're in for a heck of a night.
Tony, always great to get you on the show. I appreciate the time.
Yep, we'll talk soon.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.